All right, so welcome everybody. Come on in. We're just getting set up here. We're in person, but let me see here. Let's go.
People are going to be excited about this.
Yeah, and I want to make sure I can see this. So yeah, we can see this, and hopefully they do super chats. What if I do this? What's the heart do? Oh, look at that. I can put a heart on here. Does it come up on the screen?
It's a party.
I never noticed that before. Cool. Anyhow, let's tweet this out, but I don't even know. I think I have Twitter hooked up to my iPad because my phone is over there. But how do we do that?
We probably should have our phones, no?
If you want to grab your phone.
Okay.
But I don't see a share button on here. God darn it. Oh, here it is. Share. Let's see what happens if I hit Twitter. Is my Twitter logged in? It might be.
So, you're usually the one who tweets it, and then I retweet it.
There. Oh, damn it. Let me edit. I can edit now. Let's see
here.
Yeah,
edit.
Okay, we're getting ready. We'll get everybody in here, so just hang on for 1 second while we post this, and I can add you. But where do you hit edit on this thing? Okay. I don't see the edit button.
Coach Nick, say what's up.
What is up?
I'm saying it to the camera so they know.
Hey, what's up? All right, let's do this at combo. We got to talk about Jordan Poole. I want to talk about his game last night. That was exciting to see. Combo's court. All right, you ready? You're going to be tagged now. I at least check your up here, whatever. I just edited a tweet for the first time ever. Okay, so welcome everybody. I will be monitoring the chat from here on my iPad. So let's go back over to there. And where did the chat go? Live chat. If you want your questions answered, I suppose Super Chat's the way to go. I don't know if we can put them on the screen. We're not doing our normal thing, but at the very least, we can talk about it and make sure we answer them. So, here's a good question. Maybe we'll answer some questions anyway. Grace wants to know, is Combo taller than Coach Nick? You are definitely taller than me. I'm about 6 feet. What are you?
6'5".
All right. So, yeah.
I just got measured. So.
Okay. I'll give you a legit 6'5". Oh, and by the way, it looks pretty good. You know, the funny thing is I forgot to put my phone on the Wi-Fi. So this is all LTE, you know, streaming at you. So
anyways. Wow.
But
from
we
the
got
dungeon.
Yeah, right. Yeah. This has got cool Combo's court digs. If you want to get a handle on where we are, you normally see Combo, he has his logo on the wall behind him, which is over there. So we're sort of in the same area. How do we sound? Can you hear us? Let me know in the chat. Make sure we can hear us. I have these new mics that are working. I think that they're working. We tested it out. So let me know, somebody in the comments, if you can hear us. And let me go, I'm not live. Look at this, I'm like 15 seconds behind.
Yeah, that is weird. But I think the people could hear us live, which is all that matters.
Yeah. So.
Customer's always right, you know?
Yeah, well, you know what? Here, let's do this and make sure you can hear us. So if I do this. Oh, turn the.
That is weird.
Yeah, all right, so we're getting. All right, let's get some NBA stuff, shall we? Why not? Sounds a little bit worse quality than normal. Oh, is that right? Oh, well. Listen, we are not in my, I have my beautiful mic at home that I'm not on, but I think it should sound decent or pretty good. Anyway, so in case you don't know why I'm here, I actually traveled across the country installing a Chase defense, which is the defense I developed. Did I show you that there's a link in an article in Forbes yesterday?
Did you show me?
Oh, my goodness. So Forbes, Matt Issa over at Forbes wrote a really great article.
He's really
about
good,
it.
By the way.
Yeah, love him. So he interviewed me, he interviewed a coach that's running it, and it's a really cool article, so check that out. I'll tweet it out again on my on the Twitter. So I went to Missouri to a small college and helped them install it, and then they had a scrimmage, and we saw it in live in person. Learned a lot just from those 2 days of running it. And shout out to Coach Miners in Missouri, in Springfield, at Baptist Christian College. BCC, Baptist Bible College, because he allowed me to basically be a head coach for like 35, 40 minutes of his practice. And it doesn't happen, right?
Right.
Head coaches don't let other coaches kind of run it, take over their whole practice. So it was amazing. He let me do it. I learned so much about how to install it. So I got to Queens College in New York, where Matt Collier, Coach Collier, has let me do the same kind of thing. And these kids are, he's got a really good team, serious athletes. And I learned everything, or so much from the weekend, that now when I installed it to this time, it worked even better. So in their scrimmages, we were
so it's like 2.0?
Yeah, absolutely. And so all the rotations were better and cleaner, and then the defense itself was just much more effective. So if you haven't heard about it, the idea behind my zone, or I'm going to call it my zone, it's rooted in the Dean Smith point zone.
We need to find a great name for it.
The Chase defense.
Okay.
You know? But we play behind the ball. So basically, when you play behind the ball, you can't ball screen. And you can't shoot any threes off the dribble, right? I don't think you are. You got a guy with the hand in the back. And I actually talked to some referees after the scrimmage who are all, you know, full-time college referees. And I actually asked them about that. Do we have leeway if I'm guarding the ball with my hand on the lower back where I can put it there and make contact there? Remember, the big issue with when you hand check is that you're impeding progress. And that's not happening here because you're behind. So you're removing part of what the rule would govern in terms of that. And they're like, yeah, we probably would let you do that as long as it's not like an overt pushing back and forth and whatever. But if it's just kind of on there in a constant way, they probably won't call it. So that's exciting because that really helps in the pressure part of it. And it collapses the defense kind of all toward the baseline.
Let me ask you a question. If somebody's hand is on your back and you get a shot up, I think some refs might call that a foul, no?
Oh, okay.
The like shot, if you shoot the quick thing. Like the Trae Young thing, you kind of like go straight up or even a little bit back, you know? Yeah.
Well, a little bit, but we what I've already been seeing in the Scotland footage of a coach out there, shout out to Coach Ross, is like what I have seen, not as much of a shot, but like the guy's got his hand and the point guard jumps in the air to like kind of throw a pass in a very normal way, like near the lane. And you can see his hand just kind of continue to extend subtly. And then the pass becomes a little bit off target because of that. And so there's leeway there where we can kind of push the limits. I don't want to cheat. I'm not here to like try and get one over on anybody, but there is a way where we can find a leeway where we can just have, you know, have that hand be a more of an effective factor in that Chris Paul way, right? But you're right. There's an issue with perhaps shooting. I haven't really seen anybody shoot a three-pointer yet. Of course, the one time it happened in the scrimmage in Missouri, dude did like a sidestep 25-footer and just buried it, you know, to his right, like, and the guy was chasing him. So I guess players might be bold enough to try it. But in the most part, when I've done all these scrimmages, we haven't seen much at all of three-pointers. The only three-pointers that seem to get kind of given up might be threes in the corner, which obviously we don't want that. But when we get the rotations on point, then there's a hand up, and that's all you got. You just want a hand up, a guy running at him. The highest percentage someone's going to shoot on those is probably like 40, 42, you know. But what you really get mostly is mid-range. Mid-range pull-ups, mid-range floaters with a hand up. Now, Klay Thompson, I keep using him as an example because, you know, do you know what Klay Thompson shot last year from between 15 and 19 feet?
No.
You want to guess?
Between 15, so long twos.
Yeah.
I'd say 43.
Wow, 43.9. And Steph was like 44 right there. Now, if you hold, that's Steph and Klay.
That was pretty incredible what I just did.
It was. It really was. That's a pull. Now, I probably like gave you some mind meld there because you figured it must be lower than you would think. I think people might have thought he shot 50% from there, right?
Yeah, but I could have went too crazy and went into the 30s. So give me my credit, Coach.
You got it. I gave you credit.
We're in New York.
All right.
All right. There we go.
Yeah. Credit in real life. wait. Now, is that a comment on the screen that maybe I could, you know, put here? I don't know. I see. By the way, if you want your question asked, we can do super chats. I just want to see if I can somehow figure out how to get a super chat on the screen. But I don't know. Look at that. What do I do? I can pin the message. So they don't have that. Can think about that. YouTube has not figured out how to put a chat on the screen. But hopefully, if you do a super chat, it will alert me somehow and let me know. That's the whole key here, as I'm worried about. But if not, then don't worry. Let me know somehow. Email me. I'll send you a shirt. But the thing with Klay is people probably think, yeah, he must shoot 50%. He's automatic from mid-range, from 17 feet. But he isn't. He's 44%. In my mind, that means that normal people who are shooting those mid-rangers are 40%, right? 41.
I don't know what KD is.
KD, I'll have to look it up. So the point being that if you're getting the other team to be shooting 41, 42% against your defense, you barely have to break 30% on your threes to come out ahead. 7 out of 10 times. So the math is really what we're getting here in a way with the defense. So I'm really excited about that. And I've done 50 Zooms with coaches all around the world at every level.
You've done that many already?
Yeah. It's been crazy. I have a spreadsheet, the whole thing, it's filled. So we're going to get a lot more data. And then I think, you know, as the years go by, more and more teams are going to run it.
So let me ask you, are more people, are different coaches more receptive than others?
Is
there like more pushback from some coaches?
Oh yeah. Well, there's definitely the coaches that don't get it generally are older, right? You know, they're set in their ways. They don't get it. One reason why they don't get it, though, is because I think they assume that the guy behind the ball is not doing anything, just kind of standing there picking his ass.
I think people were taught from a young age, stay between the player and the basket. It's like the first thing you learn on defense, you know?
Yeah. And so that's, by the way, the thing you got to kind of break. Yeah. But it hasn't been that hard, and we have prompts, and we're calling it out. Just like you call out no middle, or whatever. You know, you're calling out chased or behind or whatever the word is.
And it's good to communicate. That messes up the offense as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. By the way, what we're also discovering is perhaps the defense could be like the closeout in front like normal for a beat and then jump behind, you know? Or you can be jumping behind and then get in front again. And then you can cause complete havoc because at any one time, you never know what they're going to do. Now, on the flip side of that is, you could pretty much run, I might blow your mind with this, you could play behind the ball in any zone and almost nothing changes. So think about that. You could then turn it into a thing where
it's malleable.
Whoever's on the ball could jump behind
right
when they want to. And the other four people are just doing the same zone anyway, right?
Right.
So the only issue we've had now are the wings tend to bump down too low like they're forwards in a 2-3 and have these long closeouts in the wing. So I've been trying desperately to get them to just, you know, stay pushed up. We have two guys in the lane there already. Because don't forget, defense is just offense without the ball. So you still have spacing on defense, right? You still have coordinated movement, just like offense. Just don't have the ball in your hand. So
I wanted to take a second to tell you about how fun it is to download Prize Picks and discover how much fun it is by making skill-based, real money fantasy sports entries. And best of all, you're only competing with yourself. PrizePicks offers frequent discounts, bonuses, and other exciting offers. Players can enjoy community-wide promotions, including Taco Tuesday and Flex Friday. I love that you can choose two or more players from any sport, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. I went bold this weekend by picking Kirk Cousins to throw for more than 275.5 yards, go Vikes, and Justin Fields, less than 184.5 yards, bear down. And will add a whole new level to my game-watching experience as I hope some of these guys throw that ball down the field a lot. Go to prizepicks.com/CLNS and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CLNS. PrizePicks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
Excuse me. We have Coach Ross is here. I wonder if that's
from Ireland.
It looks like it. Or maybe not. Maybe, yeah, NL Chiefs. That's him. He says, "Hey, Coach, catching up on the Chase chat, I couldn't believe how much we got away with a hand on the back. Interesting to hear the comments from the college refs." Yes. So I meant to tell you that. I talked to them on Sunday. And that's where I saw, when I told you, I was watching your footage, going frame by frame, and I'd see the guy just, you know, a little subtle push right when he gets it up in the air. You might be able to get away with down the shot, too. Maybe, maybe not, but certainly on those passes when they're going up to throw, which is a very normal thing to throw a pass in the air, no big deal. And the pass becomes a little bit off target. So now Ross is what he's doing in Scotland. They don't play it in the first half at all. And I think he's been down at halftime most of these games. But then they put it on in the second half.
So is this college in Scotland or pro in Scotland?
You know, Ross, tell me what level it is. I think it's like upper level high school, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure what age. But it looks to me from the footage like they're, you know, they're a little bit in the older end of like either high school or you know, your college.
Okay.
So he puts it on the second half. And as far as I could tell, he's running it almost the entire second half and they win going away. The other teams just can't adjust. They can't figure it out. And I think Coach Ross would tell you, it's not even, they're not even running like perfectly, right? They're still figuring out rotations and stuff. And by the way, anybody who's with me right now, who I've done the Zooms, I developed a couple more drills that really help. So I filmed them all. I got them. I'll have to get them all prepped and I'll send them out to everybody. And I will be making like a definitive how to teach the Chase defense video that will probably market it, you know, at some point soon.
Okay.
Let's see. There's another question here. You know, since we're together, it's special live. We'll answer some questions, even if they're not super chats. Let's see. Grace wants to know if any NBA coaches have hit me up. I've shown it to a number of NBA coaches, and they're all extremely intrigued. The best defensive coach in the NBA right now is extremely skeptical. And but it's good. We're having a back and forth, and he's keeping me on my toes. But I think I'm slowly getting into kind of realize that there is something there. But that said, the NBA players is a different animal. Going from small college, it was one thing. Then Division II at Queens College is a whole other level. And they're closer to Division I. They have some serious athletes. But we're seeing because you have serious athletes on the offensive end doesn't mean that it'll be ineffective. because those athletes are also on the 100%. Defense. So they're causing a lot of disruptions. Yeah. Now, the only problem with the NBA, this is a three-year plan for me, right? So the small college Division IIs this year, Division I's next year, and then the NBA in the third year. And the issue is that the NBA teams would never run this without seeing a Division I team play it, I think.
Or a G League team.
Or a G League team.
But they're kind of in control of the G League team now. It's almost like a farm system in a way.
Right. So, yeah. Which is almost like, okay, fine. We're never going to run the NBA, but we'll try the G League
yeah,
first.
Yeah, I think G League would be a good place.
Yeah. So, yeah. TJ, if you're out there, I sent it to you. Better watch that video and check it out. He's in the G League coaching.
Okay.
And so I think that might be, that's the progression. And we'll see. And by the way, the NBA could very well be the kind of thing where you do close out in front normal, and then after it's just sort of slowed for a second, and then you can jump behind. That might end up being one of the ways they can kind of make it work best at that level. But we'll see. So Ross in Scotland, though, when he puts it on the second half, he runs it almost the entire second half because they don't solve it. And there's no reason to take it off, right? But ultimately, we got a super chat. Wait, can I put it up on the screen? Buy your own super chat, go to channel, report, remove. I don't want to report. I want to pin it. Why can't I pin this?
I'm sure there's a way.
Melting
there's a will,
air.
There's a way.
I can add him as a moderator. That would be a nice reward for a super chat. But melting into air. Thank you so much. Really generous.
Appreciate
super chat.
You.
And he didn't even ask a question. He's just going, hey, sports fans. And you know why? Because we didn't start the damn show that way.
Oh.
Hey, sports fans. Coach Nick here. Welcome to B-Ball Breakdown. Thank you for reminding me. But what if I tap that?
How did you forget that, Coach Nick?
You know what? We are...
That's your go-to. That's your spiel.
I want to... But isn't that interesting that they don't have a thing for pin? Did everybody see it, though? Maybe they can all see it, and then maybe it pins itself.
Did you tell everybody you visited a bodega today?
I did. I went to a bodega. I had my New York experience. I got in a little traffic, too. I drove into the city last night. That was exciting. But nothing happened. I was waiting for something to happen, right? You're in New York. You're going to see something crazy.
What are your thoughts on the New York bodega?
It's a convenience store. I mean, right? Like, it's like my 7-Eleven in L.A., right? I don't know. Right?
A little more style, though. A little more.
Right. Well, that said, my 7-Eleven doesn't, you know, slice boar's head meats in front of you, right? Fresh.
There you go. There you go. Chopped cheese.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's huge. but I don't think I'm going to get any other, you know, New York stuff. I mean, I guess if I go on the subway, maybe I'll do that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Definitely.
You know, yeah. But thank you, Melting the Air. And again, if you want your question answered, you know, the Super Chat's a way to go. It also helps us big time. But we're also going through here. So, okay, Ross answered. Men's basketball, it's like semi-professional, maybe a little under semi-pro. I mean, yeah, honestly, that's sort of what I felt like. Yeah, it's probably somewhere in like the college range, small college range.
I'm curious, like, what's the highest level in Scotland look like? Is there professional leagues there?
Yeah, they have pro leagues. So then the question is, well, how good is that? Is it as good as like maybe D1? I don't know, like maybe not. Like Scotland, you know, basketball, I played in England. I went to school in London for a semester in 1992, but I practiced with the team. And
BBL?
It was the London, ULU, University of London team. And it was more like a club team, you know, back then. Because basketball, it wasn't, you know, a huge thing. They have gyms. Right?
Of course.
But the gyms are old, like from the 50s with all those, you know, those things on the wall where you can, you know.
They had those when I played overseas everywhere too. Yeah.
So like those kind of gyms. And they had a coach though, who was an English coach who had played at St. John's like in the 70s or something that. And he was coaching them. And it was pretty good basketball. It was probably about, you know, Division III maybe, Division III level. But it wasn't just like an important sport like soccer or whatever like that. So I would imagine like, yeah, the pro leagues like there are probably, you know, Division II level. I mean, listen, Ross might be really offended at this point. Hope you're not.
You know, it's hard to compare often because it's a different style of play. So mm-hmm. It's hard to compare levels.
He's saying British Basketball League is the top league. They're in the Scottish Division I last year but got relegated to Division II this season. So Division I has several ex-pro players. Yeah, all right. So yeah, I mean, listen, basketball is basketball.
Basketball is basketball.
Basketball is life.
That's a lot of wisdom right there.
Yeah. So, anyhow, another super chat. D-Rock, thank you so much. Really, really love you. I live in Brooklyn. Which part of New York City are you all at? We can disclose the borough, can't we?
Mm-mm.
You don't want anyone to disclose that?
Because the fans might show up at the door. All right, go ahead, man.
All right. Well, it's the same borough as the college I'm at right now coaching, but this is a big borough. So if I tell them that we're in Queens, you could be anywhere in Queens. No one's going to find you.
Queens get the money.
Yeah. Believe me, there's nothing to be worried about. I've been out there for so long.
I'm not worried.
You know, You know, yeah. You know what's funny is sometimes like I'll order DoorDash and the guy recognizes me because he's watches
people. And he says, "Hey, sports fans."
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, it's, I mean, listen, it's really cool. You know, it's always been positive. So don't be afraid. Live your life.
I'm not afraid.
You know,
listen. I took you to the bodega. You know, I'm not afraid.
That's right. You're right. Yeah, and then you park it on the sidewalk, and at a crowd around your car by the end of that one. So yeah. So yeah. But remember, New York basketball. Let's talk about that for a second.
Okay.
So the mid-range game is kind of like, you know, the pull-up jump shot. It's kind of a New York thing, wouldn't you say?
I'd say everything to the rim is a New York thing.
Okay. Does that include like going to the rim to pull up, or does it mean layups and finishing?
To the rim to finish.
Okay.
I think like all the coaches really harped on like, get to the rim, you know?
Right.
I don't know if it's the same now, but when I was growing up, that was what it was.
All right, because I'm picturing like you're outdoors on the playground, chain link fence all the way around.
Yeah, I guess there's this thing where people think that New York players can't shoot. And I think probably some of that is because we play outside a lot, you know, growing up.
But, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I got to
tell you.
They
talk about that in the point guard doc, you know?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed that we were getting a lot of pull-ups. So here's what's interesting when you're coaching the Chase defense, for instance, is that I'm cheering the whole time. A, I'm excited because it's a new defense and I want to see them do it. But there's so many ways to find positive reactions out of this defense, whereas how often does your coach cheer for you on defense, right? Maybe you get a steal, which happens, what, 4 times a game? You know, you get a good stop, whatever, but a lot of times I just expect you to make a stop and get the rebound. And a lot of times it's yelling and anger because you're getting beat or they're scoring, right? So this is all because, again, if they pull up for a 17-footer and there's a hand anywhere up in the area, I am cheering as like a cheerleader. It's awesome. That's exactly what we want, even if it goes in, because it's the process. You want them to keep shooting as many of those mid-range shots. So in a way, you almost can get hot on defense, where you just lure the offense into shooting a lot of mid-range shots. That is being hot on defense, even if they knock some of them down. But I did notice that a lot of these guards here in Queens were knocking down some of those mid-range shots. But it didn't matter. I took out all the anger and all the frustration you might have about getting scored on, because they're playing exactly into our hands. And over the long run, over the 10, 12, whatever shots, if you're going to run it 12 times a time, they're going to end up shooting 43 or 42% on those. And you just got to withstand that first barrage that they hit them.
Well, if Clay is shooting 43, why would they be shooting 43?
Exactly. It's 39.
So it's interesting that you say that, because I had Seth Partnow on the pod. I mean, we recorded a lot of pods together. But way back, he told me he thought the next evolution was how the defense reacts to like the three-point revolution, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is it.
Maybe this is it. Now, here's the thing that was bumming me out in Missouri, the small college, is that those guys respond, and when you do that, they could hit them from there. And when you do that, I don't know how you play any kind of zone. It's too far. Like, you can't get there to close out. It's a pretty open shot. Now, I coach that. I want you to be able to shoot from the NBA or farther, because you know, it's, you have more space and more time. It's more open, right? And at some point, it gets too far. But I'm sensing, especially when they listen to how I coach, you know, and unlock rhythm, you know, you can make it effortless from, you know, 35 feet. Like, that's fine. So if that is the evolution we're going towards, where they're going to really just, that's where they're going to start their offense and spot up from there. I'm a little bit worried about any kind of zone, how you're supposed to cover that much ground.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, Steph Curry changed the game. Analytics changed the game. And we're seeing it all over the world.
Yeah, and maybe Coach Nick will change the game.
There you go. So you're actually going against Steph Curry and the analytics in a way. Like, you're pushing back against that the defense.
I feel very strange when a couple times the guys nailed a couple corner threes and I said, you know, can you just stop doing that? And I feel bad because I love threes. I love shooting. But I don't want them to make me look bad in this defense.
I don't think there's offense yet that's created to play against this defense. That's why, like, I like the idea of this, especially in like unique situations in the playoffs or whatever conference play.
Absolutely. And that's why when we scrimmage now, we have to switch back and forth, man-to-man to Chase, man-to-man to Chase, so they can get used to playing a radically different way. Now, the backpack defense, did you see that quote from Becky Hammon last night when she was talking about guarding it for the Aces versus the Liberty in the finals?
Oh, so they were doing it.
Well, there was the one player, and you have to forgive me, I'm forgetting who they were guarding, but she mentioned it. I didn't get a chance. I was busy all night. I didn't see the footage yet. But the backpack defense to me means they want to play her to play behind that player. So if anyone watching the WNBA and you're in the comments, let me know if that was the case. And we'll give you some I'll give you some love on the thing. But we also have another super chat. So the Drew Show, friend of the breakdown, the Drew Show, thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Paul Silas is the only head coach to coach LeBron to a losing record. Even Luke Walton was above 500. If LeBron had... Wait, when did Luke Walton coach LeBron? Or is he just talking about...
Luke Walton coached the Warriors.
Paul Silas is the only head coach to coach LeBron to a losing record. Even Luke Walton was above 500. If LeBron had Pop as head coach, how many wins as a rookie? 50? Well, that team was really bad, right? That rookie year, LeBron team?
Yeah, I mean, he took teams that weren't that good to the finals.
Yeah, Larry Hughes?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so I don't know what... I don't know Pop. You know, let's flip that over. If Pop didn't have Duncan, does he win any of those games? And Manu and Tony Parker.
Didn't they win one before with David Robinson?
No, I think they had
to They had to wait till David was older, right?
I think it was when Duncan and him were there. But that helps Pop, right?
The players play, you know, at the end of the day.
Did you see that Wembanyama save on the baseline last night?
Yeah.
You know, and did you see him nutmeg?
Yeah.
Who did he nutmeg? I couldn't see.
But he's a unique mover. He's a generational talent, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking with this trainer. I got to get down and talk to this trainer more in person because I really want to see what they're doing. And I'm sure they develop some interesting things to deal with. So tall. And I mean, listen, you're never going to see a 7'4" guy nutmeg a guy, you know, dribble the ball through someone else's legs and keep going. And they end up fouling him because of that. Like, that's audacious, right? As a rookie to be coming in here and doing that in a preseason game. Crazy. And so he's a special player. You think that Chet is on the same lines or like a little bit below that?
Well, I think it's going to be more interesting from a team aspect because Chet fits into a place where that team could eventually become contenders, where Wemby's team is nowhere near that. But I do think Wemby as an individual talent is above Chet and is more generational than Chet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Let's see here. What do we have? Any other comments here? Yeah, if you missed it, there's a holy SHIT, you're tall. Yeah, he's 6'5". He's a 6'5 lefty.
Yes, I am.
Luke coached the Lakers bronze first year. No, he didn't. Bronze first year was like 04, 05.
Luke Walton coached... No, his first head coaching job was with the Warriors, no?
Luke Walton, right. And LeBron's... But why is he saying bronze first year? I don't know. Oh, first year on them. I don't even know. Whatever. He nutmegged Reggie Bullock. I thought it was Reggie Bullock. Yeah. So he nutmegged Reggie Bullock. Sorry, Reggie. And you know how embarrassing that is. Did that ever happen to you? Have you ever gotten nutmegged?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm from New York.
All right. Fair enough. I mean, I don't think when I was growing up
I dunked on a lot more people than dunked on me, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Kept track?
Yeah. Well, it's partly because I was a pretty good in-game dunker, partly because I didn't play much defense.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, which also reminds me, the chase defense leads to runouts as well. Because of our positioning on the outside.
You know what? I actually would probably been playing chase defense my whole life.
There you go, yeah. So, yeah, listen, I can name drop, can I? So, sure. Nick Nurse saw me demonstrate this at Coaching You Live in 2019, and I was like, well, hey, what do you think?
He's a forward-thinking guy, so.
Yeah, he's like, what do you think? It's like, it looks like my regular defense. We always get beat like that way anyway. We're always chasing from behind. So, you know what? Maybe he'll run it, you know, sooner than later. Or maybe they're already running it. Well, listen, Thibault would run it when he had Embiid, and Embiid would play a drop coverage all the time, and Thibault would let the guy go and then press from behind. So it's already happening. It's all happening. And then here we go. I know, isn't Coach Nick a Lakers fan? How they try to forget Lafayette.
Are you a fan of any team?
Listen, the idea that anybody would call me a Lakers fan is hilarious. Now, full disclosure, I was a Lakers fan in the 80s. You know, when Magic Johnson was playing.
I thought you were a
playing.
Bulls fan.
Yeah, I was a Bulls fan. I was in Chicago. But
so you started changing in the 80s when the Lakers were winning. No, it wasn't changing. In the 90s. You're a Nuggets fan.
No, like back then you were a fan of your team, but then you were either a fan of the Lakers or the Celtics.
Or.
Yeah, that was always, it was a thing. Because, you know, Larry and Magic. And I chose That's Magic. And I used to like when Larry would come in and like he missed a free throw, I like, you know, elbow my dad, you know, in the stadium, we'd be watching him.
Did you play that game like Bird versus Magic? Video game?
No, well, I had Bird versus Dr. J. Remember that one?
That's cool.
It's like a call one on one, Bird versus Dr. J.
Did they have Jordan mixed in one of those two at one point? Like Jordan versus Magic or Jordan versus
Maybe
Bird?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
But I remember having a Commodore 64 playing. And by the way, the playability on that was awesome.
Was it better than Atari?
It was that you could use the Atari controller, the joystick, But it was better than Atari, without question. Okay. It had
I was more of a Nintendo kid.
Well, Atari was like 8-bit, I think, and okay. Commodore 64 was probably 16-bit, or maybe okay. It might be 24-bit. And so it was just a better experience. But just the playability of it and the reaction and whatever, it was really good. And you would be able to do combinations that would make them do different moves in the way we have it now. Like they were way ahead of their time. It might have even been EA Sports. It might have even been way back then. That was them in 1984.
EA Sports was around in the 80s?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They've
been doing
that
well. They didn't know how to stay relevant.
EA might have even been doing Atari games in the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I like that history of like games and stuff. It's kind of cool.
So my older brother had the Atari. That's why I know about that. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had Atari. I think I still have the cartridges somewhere.
I think one of my favorite systems is Super Nintendo.
Yeah, you don't remember Intellivision. I had my neighbor had Intellivision, and that was also pretty cool. Now again, probably 16-bit. I think yours was probably 24.
Look at how far we've come. We're broadcasting to the world.
Oh, I know. I've been waiting. People might not remember. I once did a live broadcast from the Summer League in 2014, maybe, and it was all like it was like blocky, and it was it looked like I was on Mars. Yeah. But I tried, and I did. I was walking around, and we'd walk by like big writers, whatever. I'm like, hey, and they were all they didn't want to be on the screen, whatever. It was a little funny because they just kind of quickly wave and get off. I won't name who that was. You can see it if it's still up there somewhere, I think. I've been waiting for the technology to catch up to us.
Why wouldn't they want to be broadcasted? They're broadcasters.
Well, if you're on a certain network, you probably can't appear on anywhere else without permission. Yada yada. You know how that goes.
Not anymore, though.
We know, you know who I'm talking about. Well, we know which network we're talking about, right? Anyway.
Tell me.
I think it's still that way. And even if it's not like explicit, I think they still sort of feel like they don't want to.
Or maybe they're narcissistic or they're unrealistic in their views about themselves.
I mean, if you're narcissistic, you probably want to come on because you want to be everywhere. But, it's cool. It's cool. You know what the big beauty of this whole thing is? Is that there are so many voices out there now that are knowledgeable and worth having that you don't need to work for these networks that we're talking about,
Ooh.
You can.
And now you're talking spicy.
Yeah, yeah. So, and by the way, like, does anybody watch this network anymore? I mean, aside from some of the live games, when's the last time you watched that show where they have highlights on this network?
Are you lighting networks on fire?
I'm not. I'm just talking about networks in general.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay. When's the last time you watched the network highlight show that maybe you used to watch as a kid every day religiously, right? I don't even know when it's on anymore, who hosts it. Nonetheless, let's see here. Luke Walton's first head coaching job was for the Lakers, second was for Sacramento. He subbed for Kerr. Yeah, remember, he did have a coach. We'll give it to him, the Warriors. He had a great record for the Warriors for a brief time.
So Combo was correct with the Warriors.
Right. So I think the point was, like, if Luke Walton, without any experience, could do so well with the Warriors, obviously that was easy.
My question is, Combo was correct about the Lakers was the first one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or the Warriors.
Well,
sorry.
Right. I mean, it depends. If you want to say interim, Warriors, whatever. Right. Gotcha, Steve Kerr obviously was the head coach.
Yeah. They did great. That made the league look at him as like, oh, this guy's a viable head coach.
Right. Well, remember,
and then it didn't really work out over time.
And then Mike Brown took over briefly, and then he did really well too. But listen. Here, news
Mike
flash.
Brown,
Steve Kerr did really well.
Mike Brown's really good, as we could see with the set.
Well, he's. I don't know how sold I was until Sacramento, but here's the thing. You want to hear an interesting story? I guess I could. I don't know how much.
I can read what you're thinking before you even say it. You were like, should I say this story?
No one is yet to like rip anything from ours and like light us up with like a little tidbit of a live
show.
That
means we didn't make it yet.
I guess not. Or they're not watching this deep into the thing. But we have 49 people here, so someone might. But so let's just say I was at a practice of a Mike Brown team, and Mike Brown was trying to install the kind of offense we see now, which is very exciting to me because I was the triangle offense coach at the time, coaching locally.
They weren't having it.
Well, one player wasn't having it. And so if you were wondering why, it's just one player among many who also might have had enough power to say we're not having it. And as a result, like what we're seeing now with like the Princeton stuff that he's running he wanted to do that with this team that he had coached before.
He had a vision, huh?
And it didn't work very well. And there's a lot of reasons. There was injuries and whatnot. But I think that there was resistance, you know, in a way that he doesn't have resistance now. So we might have been able to see some gloriousness back then if they didn't have the resistance. And now that he has all the guys bought in, I mean, I just got caught a glimpse. The only thing I haven't seen, though, I need to get Nazemkov. I need to watch some of his footage because I saw him briefly out there. Didn't really get a sense of how he was fitting in the offense, though.
But you had a video on his European play, right?
Yeah. But that doesn't, you know, I got to see it now because it should work really well in this offense.
One of his teammates said he's the best shooter in the world or something.
One of his teammates in the NBA?
I think so.
I mean, that's what he made his bread and butter on. He could really shoot it. He's a hop shooter. He's a lefty like you. And
not as cool as me, but I get it.
Yeah. You know, no one
I'm
can
sure
be.
He's cool.
You know, it's tough to be that cool, to be honest. But like, you know, again, if you were going to pick a player that wasn't in the NBA yet that you can plug right in and do really well, it would be Nazemkov.
So, well, especially with the system he's going to be playing in.
Exactly. That's the point. So anyway, so we're getting all this, that just beautiful offense now. And, you know, and Mike Brown, in my eyes, has been elevated because, A, he got the buy-in. B, they're teaching it right. C, and they're executing it beautifully. You know, it really almost, listen, that Warriors-Kings series went 7 games, and it was really tough, and Steph, you know, was Steph.
Is it fair to say Mike was ahead of his time?
Well, the irony is that what he's running is from the 60s. You know what I mean? So it's almost like it's
more spread out, obviously.
Yeah, right. There's some tweaks that are making it more modern, but yeah, maybe. Maybe he was ahead of his time and understood what would work if he could, you know, if they would run it,
yeah,
for sure.
All trends come in waves anyway, right? Like Baggy was in when I was a kid and now it's back in.
It is?
Yeah.
I haven't seen Baggy back in.
Oh, yeah, big time.
All right. Well,
in the comment section, let Coach Nick know that Baggy is in. I'm correct.
You're cool, so I am not. I will. I used to be cool.
Youth, talk to us. Youth in the. Or they might be at school.
But isn't like nerdiness cool now?
Hasn't I mean, that could be a new trend that I don't know about.
Well, I remember when I went to see 22 Jump Street, or is it, I think 22, and they go back to college, high school. And, you know, it turns out that Jordan Hill was the cool guy because he was sort of, you know, the not cool guy, but that's now cool. So I don't know. I was cool in high school because I could kind of bounce back and forth between both groups, you know. All right. I remember when Walton's last game in Sacramento when a fan threw up courtside. I do not remember that. That's nasty.
That's a really random thing to remember.
We should get NFL executives Michael Lombardi on. He has great team building perspective. Ooh, okay. Well, do you know anybody in the NFL?
Is he related to Vince?
You know what? With a name like Lombardi and being in the affiliate of the NFL, I think you kind of have to be. You know, Vince Lombardi was on a staff with the New York Giants before he became the Packers head coach.
The gym in Fordham University. Maybe you could work with them one day. Is the Vince Lombardi gym.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But you know who else was? This is my memory because I love history of sports stuff. So Vince Lombardi was an assistant there was a legendary coach in the Giants. Do you know who the other assistant was alongside him?
Who?
Don Shula.
Oh, okay.
Do you know who that was?
Coach of the Miami
Dolphins. Very good. The legendary.
And people say, I don't know football.
So imagine having a staff that had Don Shula and Vince Lombardi on it as your assistants. Like, that's insane. Wow. They both went on to be the greatest of their time. I guess it would be the equivalent of having Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich on you as your assistants.
Yeah. Code combo, prize picks, if you want to, you know, play fantasy sports, football.
Right. Now, Baggy is in. Baggy's in. Fathi is saying that it's in. Or is it Fati? Maybe I think the TH is make a hard T on that one for Fati Muhammad. You can let me know.
Somebody asked about our CP3 thoughts. I mean, I think we've talked about this in the past, but I don't think it's a fit because of him and Steph Curry on defense. I don't know is ideal, and then on offense, I don't know if him and Draymond is ideal.
Right. Well, but at least he can shoot the three. I saw some of the practice footage. You know what? I lament. I've been traveling for the last week. Can I get home tomorrow? So I'll finally be able to fire some clips up and watch if they've been playing together. I do want to see it. I think that there's possibilities for them.
Okay.
But I also feel like CP3 would just be great coming off the bench, running the second unit. And then they will have some overlap together on the court. But I think that CP3 should probably be the floor general for, let's say he's going to play what? He shouldn't. And by the way, CP3 had better not play more than about 25 minutes a game, tops, because he won't make it to the season. But if he's going to play 25 minutes, I'd give him, you know, 14 of those at least on his own without Steph.
Cameron agrees with you. He just
Right.
He just rapped it on a song with J. Cole about how CP3 should come off the bench.
There you go.
There you go.
Did he rhyme bench with something else? Mensch?
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
be a mensch. Maybe we could fire up that clip after this.
Be a mensch, ride the bench, you know, something like that.
Okay, you're rapping out here. Okay, you got bars. You're in New York, so you feel like you got bars now.
Right. I don't know if you've seen, I used to do the Friday Night Lights. I did the Friday Night Highlights on Saturday morning.
Friday Night Lights was a show I used to have with Pierre through
so
the wire.
It was apostrophe lights, like highlights, but then, you know, Friday Night Lights.
Okay, we had a show called Friday Night Lights.
And
okay,
I would spit bars, man. I would do everything rhymed. Kind of like what Goatman Taylor does, you know, on his top five, you know.
So you got bars.
I you know.
Can we hear a quick 16?
You never saw my coaching basketball rap that I released on YouTube, on my channel?
No.
We did a
Can
whole,
I get the first four lines?
Okay. No, I don't know if I can remember it, but I might. Let me think. But YouTube Studios let us in there, and we did a whole production, and we basically did a shot-for-shot remake of Curtis Blow's Basketball. You know that rap?
Yeah, of course.
Basketball is my favorite sport. I love
I like the way you run up and down the court.
Now, you're probably doing the Crisscross version, or whoever did it later. Crisscross? Somebody did it later.
Well, if Crisscross did it later, it's still a long time ago.
Yeah, I know. Well, true. But it's not the good one. The good one is the original one.
Curtis Blow, right?
Curtis Blow, yeah, right. So I did coaching basketball. And
that needs to be revamped.
It was. It is. I did it.
I'm talking about like a 2023 version.
Right. The straight version, normal? Okay, I guess. But listen, Curtis Blow was awesome at it. So,
so
check it out.
You consider yourself a rapper?
I have rapped, therefore I rap. How about that?
Bars.
Yeah. Now, listen, I could do like Run DMC from like mid-80s.
No, I mean Coach Nick raps.
You know, but so I used to be able to do that stuff. But
all right. Anyway. But yeah, the CP3 thing will be interesting. I don't really see where it's going, but hey, you never know.
Right. All right. Well, let's see here. The audience is growing. This must be an interesting conversation for people. Nerdiness is never cool. It's all propaganda. Cool is cool.
These guys are funny.
Oh, man. Nerds control the media. Don't do it to Coach Nick. Could may throw you in the garbage like B-Rat. Oh, Combo may throw you in the garbage like
B-Rat. You know what? The whole nerds control the media thing is interesting because it's like, it feels like things are so weird with the media and the former players in their own way. They got like interesting things about talking basketball. Right. And it's almost like both sides are signaling to show who they are instead of really giving their opinion.
Interesting. Well, and even the follow-up about the whole the nerdiness, the thing of people covering the league, for instance, like there is this, it's not stigma, but it would be like a, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, like you're, if you picture like the blogger, right? It's this nerdy guy, never played the game, right? And they're always kind of complaining about that. And that may or may not be true. I mean, certainly there are the people who are out there doing
this. I feel like some of the so-called nerds know the NBA really well, but they don't know basketball from a grassroots level because they didn't grow up in basketball. So they don't have that foundation.
Right. And that doesn't mean you can't report on it and have insight into
you know
the game.
NBA really well.
Yeah. But I will say that if you're going to analyze, you know, X's and O's and break down games like what I do, if you haven't been a coach, it does leave you susceptible to, not fully contextualized information. I could say it that way.
Don't you think people could think of original ideas if they're not in that field? Because they're, you know what I mean?
They could. But I do think that if you're going to offer videos that are from that perspective, where you're really kind of diving deep, and you don't have any coaching experience.
I feel like most of the NBA media doesn't dive too much into the coaching aspect, right?
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why that's the Knicks
stay in their lane in that regard.
Kind of. Although, I think that, you know, for a long time, the reporting was so generic, and you could almost, you know, predict what the article was going to be like describing the game. It was almost fill in the blanks because there was no depth of thought about it. And then some people came along and really started giving people more insight into how it worked. And then they learned from that, and then they became more sophisticated and smarter. And then the writing had to then adjust to that.
You know what's been interesting? The ESPN player rankings and how upset people get over certain players. I don't really understand why you get so upset over where some player is ranked.
Well, what was the thing? Was it Jaylen Brown? No, who
I mean,
got
like,
it?
Kyrie, Ja, and Zion are like, you know, because obviously Kyrie is probably the most skilled basketball player, and then he's super high, but I guess some of it comes down to availability. But even if Kyrie is high, like, why do you get so upset about, like that's your son or something, or like, I don't know.
Right.
It's like, it's just the ranking.
Well, you're a fan, so you don't want to hear anything bad about your fan. Listen, if there's anyone who knows about that, Like if I did a breakdown, like for instance, the honest breakdown I did when he scored 51 last year, he almost lost the game at the end by getting rid of the ball, throwing the ball away because he didn't want to shoot free throws when they tried to foul.
And people were high on the honest train, so you kind of, you were dampening it.
Well, I mean, I can't break down.
You're raining on their parade.
And by the way, 75% of it was just all oohs and ahs and being amazed at what he was doing. But
and then he got the 50-piece chicken nugget right after he dropped 50. Come on, Coach Nick.
Well, I know, but like, you expect me to not mention like the most crucial part of the game?
No, they want to hear about the 50-piece chicken nuggets.
All right, that's the problem. It's like I can't quite just stop there. I have to kind of, you know, covering the game, whatever he did, and it just so happened that it is a shortcoming. It's funny, you know. We're looking at some of the footage now between Giannis and Dame, right? And Dame is sort of looks like he's struggling from shooting a little bit and maybe figuring some things out. But it also looks like they're also, you know, understanding a little bit more about spacing and what Dame's going to bring to them off that dribble when he sets the screen.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I think it's a great fit.
I think it's a matter of time.
I think I have them over the Celtics.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we talked about that in the last show, maybe. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Drew Holiday doesn't really like, is not a seismic shift. He's just a really good
defensively
player.
Defensively, they get better. But they did lose Marcus Smart, who you don't really.
Yeah, but Derek White's going to get more run. And Peyton Pritchard.
He's good.
Is really.
And they got him on a good deal. I think $30 million is a good deal for him.
Yeah, as long as they fulfill his promise, which is getting in the minutes he deserves. And that wasn't happening.
I think the concern was probably defense in the playoffs. But he plays hard on defense. He's definitely, you know, relentless. He's just smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what. I guess we have a few more minutes before we get too long. We're going on, you know, hard. But
any basketball questions?
Yeah. We'll answer some basketball questions for you if we can. Any nerd questions, I suppose, or anything. You know, rap. You know, I can tell you what my favorite rap was, or my favorite album, I guess. I think.
Oh, go ahead.
I would probably say here's the albums we listened to back in the day that I would listen to a lot. Would be like Raising Hell, Run DMC. So that's
KRS-One.
On that album had Walk This Way. Do you know that song?
Okay.
So they took Walk This Way, was by Aerosmith, and then they made it into a rap. No, it's a.
So who's your favorite rapper?
By the way, you can almost argue that Aerosmith was a rapper too, because their version of Walk This Way was a bit rappy to the, you know.
Oh, Shake, we can't do that.
I know. Why not?
Aerosmith was not a rapper.
I know, but that song, Walk This Way, from 1975, kind of was rap. They always talk about Blondie was the first rap, before that, or in mainstream. But I think
Coach,
that Aerosmith,
we cannot call Aerosmith a rapper.
I won't. Well,
New York.
That album.
Shout out to Aerosmith, but that's almost blasphemous. Yeah.
No, that song, you know, you could argue was rap. But
who's your favorite rapper?
So I don't know if I have a favorite rapper. I know, because like LL Cool J came out with that album with, I think it was before Mama Said
LL Cool J. Okay.
But and then
he's from Queens.
And then Beastie Boys was
Queens. Get the
huge.
Money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beastie Boys ended up being huge. And then, you know, did you see the Beastie Boys documentary that came out? No. Last year.
One of them unfortunately passed, right?
Yeah. Well, they did a documentary about it, and I don't know. I had forgotten how influential they were and how much we listened to them from me back then. They kind of disappeared a little bit, right? In the.
I guess everybody has their time.
Right.
Unless you're Drake and LeBron, and you just keep going and going and going.
Right. And in the rap genre, I feel like there's not like a classic rap, like there's classic rock.
Oh, there is.
There is?
Yeah, Tupac is like, Juicy is classic.
I guess, but that's even later. I'm talking about like from the 80s, you know. I want to hear that stuff. But I feel like they kind of just faded away and, you know, you don't hear much from them. Unless like, you know, or even like Ice-T. Oh, I once left Ice-T's Rhyme Pays in the cassette player.
Like N.W.A. is classic. You know, yeah. Snoop Dogg, the old stuff's classic. Right.
Well, do you remember Rhyme
Nas.
Pays? Ice-T, remember he used to be a rapper before he was an actor?
Of course.
So, yeah. and he was, it was, how should we say, Rhyme Pays is a very dirty album. It's very explicit.
You ever heard Illmatic?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's classic.
Okay.
Queens. Not too far from here.
All right.
You could walk to where they grew up.
Okay.
Where he grew up. Oh, I'm sorry to let people know where I'm living. That's not good.
Right. Right. And I suspect if you walk to see where they're living, you're just kind of shrug and keep walking. Right?
That's true.
It might just be like a, you know, a house. Oh, we have another super chat as we're getting wrapped up here. Alan Tran, friend of the breakdown. Thank you so much, Alan. We really appreciate it. Bucks are one injury to Giannis or Dame from crumbling. I think Boston can still compete if Tatum or Brown goes down. You know
Can
what?
You read that one more time?
Yeah. Bucks are one injury to Giannis or Dame from crumbling. And he's probably right because they're not. Well, are they?
Can't you say that about Tatum or Brown?
Well, that's what he's saying. He's like, if Tatum goes down, I think they're still really good, and Brown the same way. And that probably is true. They might be.
If Tatum or Brown goes down, they're not contenders anymore.
Right. But who was I thinking was really... Was it the Bucks that were not deep at all? Gosh, or was it the Celtics were not deep at all? Now I'm blanking.
See, I like to take the injury thing out of these conversations because you could say that about almost any team and say, oh, yeah, if LeBron or AD gets injured or if this team gets injured. You know, almost. I think it's okay when it's so ridiculous. Like, not ridiculous because injuries are unfortunate and you can't really prepare for them. But, like, Kawhi and Paul George, I think it's okay to do that with, right? Like, we don't know if they're going to be healthy. But for the most part, I think it's more fun to just say, in full health, right?
I tend to, assume they're healthy. I like to assume the best.
Because then we can't even have a conversation if we go down that rabbit hole.
Well, but that said, you know, if you know, we could conjecture, and you know, if you can picture if Brown goes down and you still have Tatum and Drew and Derek White and Al Horford, like that, they could keep the ship floating.
No, because Jaylen Brown brings them something in transition that they don't have, I believe. Like, you know, he gives them like relief buckets, easy buckets in transition. He breaks the game wide open in spurts.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but maybe you could find that in little pieces and replace it. But meanwhile, but the Bucks idea, you know, I almost want to see. Can I just quickly check? Let me just look at their the roster one more time.
And also, I love Porzingis. I mean, if you want to start going down the injury rabbit hole, I think he's going to have a breakout season. But, I mean, that's a concern for the Celtics always, right?
Who?
Porzingis. I mean, if you want to say that about Dame and...
Oh, no.
You
know, absolutely.
But I hope he stays... Porzingis looks great in the preseason. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that all, you know...
Actually, I think they should run everything through Porzingis.
But you still have the Bucks over the Celtics?
Well...
You have the Bucks over the Celtics or the other way?
I do.
You know, all right. That's interesting. I mean, I think I can't wait to see him play. That's going to be the deciding factor now.
What's more important is who goes farther, who wins the championship more than them playing against each other. But I think them playing against each other will be interesting as well.
Well, it'll give us something. It'll give us a chance to get a handle on where they are. But
yeah.
And hopefully with the new rules, they're not going to duck each other. So they won't rest, you know, Tatum.
Kawhi said he don't care about those rules pretty much in his own terms.
He's just going to do what he's going to do.
He's like, I'm not resting. I'm injured, basically, is what he's saying.
Yeah, and Kawhi is. I don't think Kawhi's ever recovered from the tendinopathy he had in his quad. So I think that they'll probably have medical records. They'll just show the league, and the league will have to honor that. You can't get into the business of questioning whether someone's injured, right? Now, the teams weren't really even hiding it at that point. Their reasonings were so, you know, not ridiculous, but probably so intentional that they're just resting them that they could question those. But certainly with the Kawhi, there's no question. I'm sure he'll be able to simply say, they have to believe him. You have to believe him. You can't not. It's, you know, that's just how it has to go. Right? Right. The second you doubt a player is...
I mean, there's paperwork that he's been injured a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and there's MRIs and stuff. Yeah. So it's like, you know, once you doubt a player is sincere with saying that they're hurt, then... That kind of trust you almost never get back.
That's why Adam Silver and Lee kind of towed the line, like with their verbiage on these rules, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, you know, it's like John Wooden was really smart because he would
make sure your socks were ironed out before you put it in the sneaker.
That's right, right. But he also didn't have defined like punishments for different rules, so he could be malleable when they happen and figure out how to punish that would be appropriate for that player in particular. Mm-hmm. I mean, and if you were a cynic, you would say, okay, great. So he just was going to punish Kareem Abdul-Jabbar differently than, you know, Joe Schmo on the bench. And that also was part of it, but penalizing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, is different than penalizing someone who doesn't play anyway to the team. True. So you might suspend the guy at the end of the bench for two games for something insubordination where Kareem only gets like a half of a game, you know, but it ends up being almost the equivalent because of how important Kareem is. But the point being that he never boxed himself in on those rules, and it gave him, you know, the ability, you know, I don't want to call it wiggle room, but it gave him the ability to sort of evaluate on an individual basis what was going on. So, and I don't think he ever had much trouble. No one really took advantage of it. So that's a good sign. Well, what do you think? Let me see here. Let me get back to our chats. Background play is on. Okay, not now. We have another super chat. So thank you to Alan, and now we have Melting Into Air back again for a very generous super chat. Thank you so much. I'm tapping on this. I would love to just again put it on the screen. So I guess what it tells us is that StreamYard is the way to go. Somehow StreamYard has figured it out and YouTube is not. I would love to get you on the screen, but I can't. But anyway, here's Melting the Air's question. Cavs were decisively defeated by the Knicks. Yet, They still have more than twice as good odds to win the Eastern Conference.
Because they added Max Strus.
Why are the Knicks not higher and the Cavs not lower? We love you, Max, but I don't think he's shifting odds in Vegas.
I mean, I think he's like a wing-type player that they needed, you know, movement shooter. Yeah. It's the position, the in-between size player that they didn't have. Like, they had two dynamic guards. They had two really good bigs, but they needed more wings, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, maybe Fournier did some voodoo and then made their odds go down because he's not playing. He's not going to be a rotation player.
Yeah, I think he could actually help them.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want like a 6'5"?
Tibbs is all about the defense, and he's not bringing much on that side.
Right. But here's what's interesting to me is that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that we heard Fournier speak about it and saying he's kind of mystified. Or I know Gobert spoke out for him, and maybe Gobert was indicating that Fournier was saying that he doesn't know why he's not playing. And that's not great. If you're not going to play and you're a guy like a veteran like that, the coach probably should have a conversation to make it clear to you. Now, maybe he did and Fournier's just not taking it, but I would think that, you know, if you did it properly, he's not running the press and not complaining or not being mystified and confused.
I think, well, sometimes they just ask you a question and then you answer it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if he went out of his way to say that. They, you know, I think they asked him a question. He answered it honestly. But, you know, I think they're playing him in preseason now. He's looked good in preseason for what I watched him play. And they're probably doing that to raise his trade value.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's fine. Yeah. Someone will pick him up. The Drew Show, another, hang on, there's more. Why the Knicks not higher and the Cavs not lower? So let's get to that bottom line there. So it's probably popular to kind of crap on the Knicks. You know, it's easy to sort of...
Their offense is just... I don't know what they do. They just kind of go ISO, and then if they're in trouble, they kick it out. You don't really know what they're doing.
Right.
But I don't Cavs, know. I mean, Cavs have a more dynamic backcourt with Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell, who's probably... Donovan Mitchell's probably the... If you took both teams together, it's probably the best player. Julius Randle is all NBA, I think most people would take him.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, I mean, I think the other thing is, because I don't think Vegas would care necessarily about how they run their offense per se. Like, I don't know how reflected that would be. I do think that perhaps the notion could be that, you know, the Cavs are a young team. They were thrown together last year, found a little success, got to the playoffs, not necessarily surprisingly, but they got there. They got their experience they were looking for. Now that they've got it, they're ready to now take off. So that would probably be the only argument I could see, because I do like the Cavs, and they put together... Strus is a very nice piece that will help them.
Yeah.
So
they need shooting.
And I think there's someone else they added, but I'm forgetting who else they added. So the point being that, like, yeah, it might just be because of the experience they got getting beat by the Knicks that, like, are now going to make them better. But they're going to be battling. Those two teams are going to be very close, I imagine.
They should have tried to get Reggie Bullock, speaking of the Wemby nutmeg.
Yeah.
He would have helped them.
Well, who has him right now? Is it Detroit? No.
I think it's the Rockets, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the Drew Show, thank you again for another super chat. Very, very generous. Really, really appreciate it. Really helps. Coach Dick, did you watch the last season of Winning Time? Thoughts? I think the best season better than the first. So, here's my problem with it is I haven't finished it. And that's strange, right? Because it's been out for a while and I could have finished it. And it just seems to me a thing I couldn't quite get through it. But I've enjoyed it and I've liked it. And it's certainly amazing how they're recreating all the real things that have happened on the court, almost like frame by frame perfectly. So, but it is compelling. And I wish I had a better reason for like why I haven't just sat down and finished watching them all. It just hasn't compelled me for whatever reason. But I do enjoy it while I'm watching it. And I know we were doing a live show last year every once a week after each on Mondays after the Sunday show. And I know Roland, the partner who had covered the NBA during that time, you know, he was up in arms because they were getting so many things wrong, factually.
Bob Ryan, who's been on my podcast recently, doesn't like the portrayal of Jerry West or Jerry Buss.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
Or Bird.
Of course. I mean, he has relationships with all those people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not a flattering portrayal of Jerry West at all to the point where it's a caricature and Jerry West is going to sue them and then didn't sue them.
Which he probably could for what they were doing. He made them like a stumbling alcoholic pretty much. It was like.
Yeah, but like bipolar and just sort of a ranting lunatic.
One of the greatest players to ever play the game.
Yeah. I know. And I know Jerry a little bit. I
He's a smart guy.
Yeah, I don't get a sense that he would be flying off the handle throwing trophies into the wall like we saw, whatever. This isn't, you know, it's a limited basis, but I would have gotten that sense.
As somebody who does some acting, I do like the idea of more shows about basketball because they give more basketball-based actors more jobs. That's the perspective I'm looking at. I think more basketball is better in every field.
Yeah, well, you know, the star of a Google commercial here who wants to get more basketball.
I don't know about the star, but we're getting there one day.
Right, and... So, yeah, you're right. And by the way, the reason why we don't get oftentimes a lot of basketball content is because it's never great. It's not covered well or whatever.
You know, the basketball scenes have got better over the years. They used to be terrible, right, back in the day?
Yeah. Now, so Peyman Benz, who directed, so there was an episode last season, in the first season of Winning Time, where they had that really cool effect where everyone would freeze. And then the camera would be moving around 3D.
That was cool.
That was his episode. And I got to get him on to talk more about it. But that's beginning to open up a whole new realm of how you want to shoot basketball on the court. And then we've seen that footage of the guy in the rollerblades, right? He's on the rollerblades with the camera and he's like skating
around. So that could help coaching too, right? Freezing people like in 3D video?
Yeah. Like the Matrix style. Yeah. So yeah, I had actually tried to like invent something like that, like, in, you know, 20 years ago, in a way where you'd have all the different camera angles synced up. And then if you're trying to show somebody a thing from the regular angle, oh, you can't figure out how that goes. Okay, hang on, you press a button and then all of a sudden you fly down and now you're looking straight down.
See how you're doing that 20 years ago?
I was trying to figure out how to do that 20 years ago. And I did some mock-up.
I'm sure you can do it now.
Probably, you know, but if you had the right amount of cameras, and we see it sometimes live where they'll do the Matrix thing because they have, you know, 20 cameras in between the start and stop, and we see it in football. But it also, when you see that, sometimes that one of those free frames gets kind of weird, kind of like when you're doing the pano, and then you get a weird, like, alien-looking thing. So it's not, like, perfect, but eventually what they'll be able to do is do it, like, in 2K. So they can render it in 2K, but 2K will look so realistic that it'll look like, you know, real people.
That's cool.
Which it kind of almost does, right? They're getting close.
Oh, yeah.
And I love how you can fly around. If I could figure out how to get 2K to like imitate the games live and use that footage to break down, then that's all I would do. I would be flying around all over the place.
I wonder where 2K gets to the point where it's exactly like watching a real game. Like there's no difference.
I mean, sometimes, you know...
With AI, I'm sure it's going to accelerate the process of real games.
But there are times when I'm watching the real game and when they go to that 4K camera, that 8K camera, and it looks like the video game. So it's almost like the other way around. That doesn't look real.
Right.
So, you know, so that's my thoughts. I mean, I'm enjoying it, but something about it just wasn't quite compelling enough to get me to keep, you know, come back and watch them as soon as they came out. But anyhow, well, listen, I think, you know, I think it's time to...
This was fun, man. We always said we were going to do this, and hopefully we could do more of it. I don't know if we'd be able to set it up every week.
Right.
Unless we get the big sponsor to fly us somewhere.
That's right, but because we are on the opposite ends of the country here. But it's so excited to be here with you in person. It's great. And these are always better. It's always better to be in person than having a back and forth.
Yeah, I truly appreciate you, Coach Nick, because obviously before I met you, I used to tune into the videos, whether I was playing overseas or wherever I was, and I used to watch them before I knew you. Then I had you on the podcast a couple times. Then we kind of graduated to doing live shows every week, and now you're here in person at Combos Court Studio. So it's crazy how things come full circle and how this life works.
Absolutely. Can't wait to do our next show and keep talking about this, because we have a whole season in store for you guys. And hopefully we'll figure out some other interesting ways to, you know,
interact,
to cover this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of thinking, I'll just talk out loud, maybe we can do some like post-game shows, which would be the pod. But that means you gotta stay up a little late on one of those days sometimes.
Like on a West Coast game, that would be like 2 a.m.
That's rough. Unless it's a weekend where like the
I could probably do it for the East Coast games. Or weekend I could do it.
Yeah, you know, let's last game is at 6 o'clock your time over at 8:30.
There's some pretty like high level weekend games, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, there's probably some Sunday games and stuff like that. And there's also gonna be the tournament in the middle
of the season.
We'll figure it out. All right, the Drew Show, thank you, man. This is really amazing. And by the way, I wonder, I don't know if it pops up. I think it probably
does. Coach, they actually got us some bananas and waters today, so that probably pays for it, so we're good.
There you go, yeah. The Drew Show says, if I win $1 billion lottery, I'll buy Coach Nick a penthouse in New York City. Well, that would be very nice.
We can do live shows all the time.
We've got it in writing now, so find a $1 billion lottery somewhere and see if you can win that one, I guess.
So if he wins $900 million, this is null and void.
It is. It's got to be $1 billion. So... You know, but hey, you know, with inflation, we'll probably get to $1 billion sooner than later. So keep a hold to your word, Drew Show. Again, thank you, everybody. This is going to end a little bit weird because you're going to end up having to watch me get up and press a button on my phone to end it, I guess, right?
Can't you end it from there or no way?
Let's see. I don't know. I don't think I have the control from here. Unfortunately, if I tap this, what's this? Nope, it doesn't look like I can. So I will get up there, but first we'll just do our little sign off and then we'll do it in person and then I'll end it. So thank you all for being here. Thank you so much for the super chats. Again, it really, really helps us. Like, it'll help us cover some of the costs that I had to incur to get over here and to hang out with Combo. So thank you so much for that. Combo, thanks for, you know, being you and being part of this. It's really fun. And don't forget, sports fans, at B-Ball Breakdown, we're not a channel, we're a conversation. You in? You in, Combo?
Yes, sir.